This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Google will pay for its private browser that wasn't so private. I'm David Brancaccio. Alphabet's Google has agreed to settle a class action lawsuit alleging it misled millions of people using the supposed privacy mode of its Chrome internet browser. The suit alleged Google continued to track user activity. Plaintiffs were seeking billions in damages. Marketplace's Nova Safo has some details here.
Yeah, and we don't know what the final settlement amount is, David, but details have not been disclosed yet. The lawsuit, though, is seeking compensation for users going back to 2016, potentially millions of people. So the total could have been $5 billion or more if Google lost a trial. There won't be a trial, though. The two sides submitted a request to a federal judge in Oakland, California, to halt a trial date, which was set for early February. They say they've reached a preliminary settlement. They will continue to negotiate the details and plan to present a formal agreement for court approval by late February.
Nova, tell me more about what the plaintiffs believed Google did wrong.
All right. So if you're using Chrome, you can switch to so-called incognito mode. And the plaintiffs were alleging that Google misled users about how private that mode was. Google has said that it makes it clear that incognito mode simply means that browsing activity is not saved locally on a computer or browser. The plaintiffs said Google's behavior was misleading because it continued to collect user activity data. Even if that data wasn't being stored locally, the allegation was that Google did not explicitly tell users it would be collecting that information.
All right, Nova, thank you. A number of Greyhound bus stations are closing, including Philadelphia and Tampa. 20 Lake Holdings, an affiliate of a hedge fund, owns the real estate and has been putting some of it up for sale. That means Greyhound has been moving some stations to the suburbs and in some cases making people wait for buses on the sidewalk, city bus style. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has that.
Greyhound was once synonymous with inner-city bus transportation. But in the 90s and early aughts, new bus companies like Megabus came onto the scene.
They didn't have bus stations. They didn't have baggage handlers. They didn't have a lot of things. They basically just had drivers.
Randall O'Toole is a transportation policy analyst at the Thoreau Institute. He says Greyhound wants to copy the stationless model. O'Toole says that can be good for passengers.
If you have a choice between going for $30 and have a station or $10 and have a curbside stop, you're going to choose $10.
But Nick Klein, who teaches transportation planning at Cornell, says bus stations are important infrastructure for travelers.
Very few people would say their favorite place to hang out for an afternoon is a bus terminal, but they offer shelter, they offer stores to get something to eat, they offer places to go to the bathroom.
And they offer a safe place to wait. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
It has taken 33 years for the key stock market indicator in Japan to go above a record high set back in 1989, but that has happened this year with the Nikkei 225 index in Tokyo going up 30% here in 2023. The new high was fueled by a low Japanese yen, which makes overseas profits higher when brought back home, plus reopening after pandemic and generally solid profits from key Japanese companies.
This This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's Ascensus.com.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
I've been checking in with Marketplace reporters as we take stock, as it were, of the year drawing to a close. My friend, colleague, and motorcycle aficionado, Kimberly Adams, is our senior Washington correspondent. You may have heard her hosting the half-hour Marketplace in the evening this week. Kimberly, hi.
Hey, David.
As we both think back across 2023, I guess it's fair to say the air in D.C. was not choked by all the new legislation passed, signed, and put into law.
No, but it certainly was choked up by the drama. It felt like we were lurching from one crisis to the next, whether it be the House Speaker fight or the debt ceiling, whether or not we could pass a spending bill, or were we going to have a government shutdown. And to be honest, it's not looking much better for next year. A lot of these issues are still kind of unresolved.
All right. But the executive branch on its own does have the power to put into force really some major legislation from years gone by.
Right. So we are starting to see the rollout and implementation of some of the big pieces of legislation that were passed earlier on in the Biden administration. Money is starting to flow from the CHIPS Act, which is supposed to build up our domestic infrastructure for semiconductor manufacturing. Projects are underway in some parts of the country with money from the infrastructure law that actually got done a couple years ago. And while we still haven't seen much of that robust EV charging infrastructure promised from the Inflation Reduction Act, a lot of those efforts are underway and that stuff is coming.
My kingdom for an EV charger. You hear that? And I think we have work to do covering our business reporter slices of an election.
So many slices of that. Yeah, that's what I'm going to be focused on for much of 2024. You know, of course, campaigning and fundraising has already been going on for months. This election is set to be the most expensive ever, which it feels like we say that every cycle. And the economy is always a top issue in both local, state, and national races. Campaigns, though, have so much data about us now, from how we browse on the internet to where we go and what we watch on TV. And with all of these new artificial intelligence tool and other kinds of technology layered on top of fragmented audiences across different platforms, I think this election we are going to see all of that money going into hyper-targeted messages about what is and isn't happening in the economy as campaigns try to sway voters ahead of November.
Marketplace's senior Washington correspondent Kimberly Adams, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
She also hosts our Make Me Smart podcast with Kai Rizdahl. I was just listening to their discussion of U.S. history through the prism of food, Jell-O, during the Gilded Age, Spam, during World War II. Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Dylan Mietinen. Our engineers are Jake Cherry and Becca Weinman. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.